Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make, and our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Scott shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen.
I'm going to go to John chapter 8. If we're going to look at this morning in John chapter 8, starting in verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus responded, "Even if I testify about myself," Jesus replied, "my testimony is valid because I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true because I am not alone, but I and my Father who sent me judge together. Even in your law it is written that the witness of two men is valid. I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You know neither me nor my Father," Jesus answered. "If you knew me, you would also know my Father." He spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple complex, but no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. So as we look at this morning, we're going to focus on really on the first verse primarily. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." In John chapter 1, verse 4, this is a common major theme in John's gospel. John chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Life was in him, and that life was the light of men." In John 9, 5, Jesus speaking again, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And then in 12, which we're not quite to 12 yet, but Jesus answered, "The light will be with you only a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness does not overtake you. The one who walks in darkness doesn't know where he is going. I have come as the light of the world, so everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness." Think about this a little bit. Jesus is saying that he is the light of the world. But John chapter 1, verse 4 tells us that life was in him and that he gives life, and that life is the light of men. So he comes into our life, and when he makes us alive in himself, he also gives us the light of Christ in our life. We need to think a little bit about how this works, because it's a major theme of the Gospel of John, light versus darkness. Every time that Jesus talks about the light in the context of the passage that he's speaking of it in, he talks about light versus darkness. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but he will have the light of life." John 1:5 said, "The darkness did not comprehend it." Life was the light of men, but the darkness did not comprehend it. And in some versions of the Bible, it uses the word "overcomes." But the word "overcomes" does not really, in our current English language, does not really explain what we're talking about. It means to comprehend, to take it eagerly, to seize it, to take possession of it, and to attain to it. So the light is in us. Jesus has given us light. He has made us alive in himself. When he gave us his life, he also gave us the light of understanding who he is and how he works in our lives. and gives us the ability to actually show the light of Christ in our life. The important part for us to recognize is that when Jesus says, "I am the light," in verse 12, he also says, "Walk in the light. Never walk in the darkness." And Jesus, we have the light of life. So we have light versus darkness. And you know that on the darkest night of the year, when you can't see the moon, everything is overcast, it is dark, dark, dark outside. And when the sun comes out in the morning and it's bright and beautiful, that is the contrast that he's talking about. He's talking about life that is so dark that you can't possibly see where you're going. And then on the other hand, light that is so bright and beautiful that you can see everything. You can understand. You can see the creation. You can see God at work. You can see the things that God is doing. So the challenge is to be in the light rather than in the darkness. Now, we know that there's a twilight as well, or there's a shadow. And I'm afraid to say that a lot of people who claim the name of Christ, who claim that Jesus is in their life, find themselves walking in the twilight, not in the light. Not necessarily completely in the darkness, but definitely dark enough to not be in the light. And that is, somebody said recently, a place where we're comfortable. But Jesus is not asking us to be comfortable. He's asking us to walk in the light, because it is in the light that we demonstrate Christ. It is in the light that we show people that there's a better way. It's in the light that we are empowered by the Spirit of God in us to ask other people to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. We are not the Holy Spirit. We are not able to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. We're not able to make people make a decision for Christ, but we are told to share the truth of God's word so that people can understand the truth about the gospel, can understand the truth about a relationship with Christ. And it is amazing to me that in John, Jesus is expressed as the light of the world. And we can't expect anybody to live in the light if they don't have Christ in their life. Sometimes what happens to us, and I think it's sad, but it's a reality, that we look at people and we think that, you know, it's unfortunate they're doing bad things. Things are not positive. Things are not good. And we determine, we judge, according to what Scripture says, what that person is doing, but they don't actually have the light of life in them. They are lost in the darkness. Warren Wiersbe made a comment, and I thought it was valid, and I'm not going to read the entire comment, but I think it's good to recognize that people love either the light or the darkness, and this love controls their actions. So we are in the dark because that's what we choose to do, and we think that we love that position in our life until we are illuminated by the Spirit of God working in us and bringing about change in us to show us the difference. The contrast is that we want to be in the light. We want to be walking in the light. We want to be demonstrating the love of Christ to people around us, because otherwise they don't see Christ in us. We can't walk in the shadow. Even if we're not doing the really bad things that we see people do, we're still in darkness. We're still not demonstrating the love of Christ. Wiersbe says this, and I think it's good to recognize. Those of us who believe on Christ are the sons of light. We are the sons of light, according to John 12. So as the sons of light, we need to see the light shining through us. I think it's amazing to me, actually, that God has given us the ability by His Spirit, through Christ living in us, the mystery of the gospel, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, the mystery of the gospel is really this very simple phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we don't have Christ in us, we can't show the light. If we have that relationship with Christ that He wants us to have, that He's given us freely, given us the opportunity to be that child of God, sons of the light, then He also will use us to touch other people's lives. And I love this passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 3. Paul says something very similar in Philippians 3. And I think that as we look at this, we need to recognize what is being said, because we see the picture of darkness in the Pharisees as we read through this passage that we just read this morning. They are challenging Jesus in a worldly sense. We don't know your Father. But Jesus told them in several different places before we got to chapter 8 that His Father was God in heaven. And yet they're still walking in the darkness. They're still lost in the darkness. They can't comprehend the light. They can't see the light. They're not making an attempt to take hold of or possess the light. They reject Christ for who He is, and at the same time, judge Him according to their own standard. We have to be very cautious about how we look at people and how we see God moving and working and how we recognize what Jesus really wants for our life. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to pick up in chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, because I think this is an incredibly important part of what we're talking about this morning. In verse 9, my desire is that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ. Righteousness that is through faith in Christ. My goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. So think of that context in the framework of light versus darkness and walking in the light and being a reflection of Christ in the world in which we live, and recognizing that our relationship with Christ is to be demonstrated by walking in the light. And the only way that we can actually do that as Christian men and women is if our goal of our life is to know Him. Paul makes it very simple. It's also very hard. But it is very simple in terms of what is expected of us. My goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection. The power of the resurrection of Christ is the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. The same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit of God that Jesus promised to us, another Comforter will come, according to John 14, and He will guide you into all truth. That same Spirit of God is at work in us, and our goal that we don't have the ability to set a goal like to know Jesus better in and of ourselves, but the power of the resurrection of Christ in us is the ability to know him better because it's the Spirit of God at work in us. The mystery of the gospel, according to Colossians 1:27, is to know Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But the Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the Spirit of Christ in you. Sometimes we see that term, the Holy Spirit in us, and sometimes we see the terminology, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the same Spirit. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us. It's the Spirit of God in us. And it is the Spirit of God that draws us to himself. When Paul says in Philippians 3, he says, my goal is to know him. I have set that as the standard that I want to attain to in my life. I want my life to reflect Christ in me, the hope of glory. So how does that happen? How does that happen? We set a goal. Paul told us in Philippians 3, 9, to have faith in Christ. And then through that faith in Christ, we set a goal of knowing him. And then we desire to bring that goal to fruition in us, to bloom in us. And that goal can be attained how? Well, I want to say two simple things: prayer and the word. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I don't have the ability to change my thinking. I don't have the ability to change the direction of my life in and of myself. I can have goals that I want to see fulfilled in my life, but I don't have the ability to actually change my heart. I don't have the ability to change who I am as a man apart from the Spirit of God at work in me. And the Spirit of God works in us by transforming our mind through the Word of God in us, making the Word of God alive in us and bringing about changes. If our Bible is at home on the shelf or at home on the coffee table, and we don't open it, we don't look at it, we don't study it, we don't read it, we don't actually pray and ask God to teach us through his word, then our life will not change. Sounds harsh, sounds hard, but it's true. You can't take your Bible, stick it under your pillow, sleep on it, and somehow it changes you. No. It would be nice if that worked that way, but it doesn't. The transforming of our mind is the word called metamorphosis, which is the same word that we use when we talk about a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. We talk about a tadpole becoming a frog. We talk about life change that comes about miraculously, and it definitely appears to be miraculous when you see something as unbeautiful as a caterpillar becoming the most beautiful butterfly, radiant in color and radiant in glory. They're gorgeous. That's what God does to us when he transforms us. Not the same person that we were before we came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Not the same person that we were in our darkness, in our sin, living our life for ourselves entirely, focused on ourselves only. In prayer, asking God to bring about change in us. Teach me, Lord. We're going to read things in the Bible that we don't fully understand. Most of the deep truths of the Word of God that he wants to do in our lives and bring about in our lives are not found in one verse by itself. They're found in the context of Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, it could be in the very first chapters of Genesis. It could be in the very last chapters of the book of Revelation. But the truth is that the Word of God continually complements itself by showing us different aspects of the same truth to bring about that truth in our life. God uses that Word in us, His Word in us, to bring about change. But we need to desire it. We need to want that change in our life. And that desire to want that change in our life is according to what Paul says in Philippians 3, my goal is to know Him, to know Jesus more. So it is Christ in us. And we need to make every effort to have that knowledge and understanding to know Him. To know Him. We could stop right there and say, this is the message, to know Him. To know Him. And to know the power of the resurrection of Christ in us by His Spirit. Because we've been given a commission. We've been given a commission to reach a world for Jesus Christ. And what happens with most of us is we find a lot of reasons why not to share the gospel with people, why not to share the truth about Jesus with people, to not approach the subject. We hope that they can just see how wonderful we are, how godly we are, how much we are taken hold of by Christ. The part of this passage that I think is amazing to me, and it shows up in verse 12 of chapter 3, not that I have reached or that I am fully mature. There's a lot of people who believe that, well, I don't know enough. I can't really share the truth of the gospel. I can't really share Jesus with people. I can't really share God's word with people. I just simply don't know enough. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, said, not that I am fully mature. If Paul says, not that I am fully mature, then how do we think that we're going to reach the point of being mature enough to actually share the truth? He says, I make every effort to take hold of Him, or take hold of it, the goal. I make every effort to take hold of the goal, which means that I have to put energy and effort into the whole idea of knowing God's Word, knowing Him, and that means also that I need to make every effort to allow Him to use me to reach other people for Christ. And what's Paul's reason for that? He says it in verse 12. Because I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus, which means then that my goal to know Him is really in line with His possession of me. I have been taken hold of by Him. Lots of scripture, Ephesians chapters 1 and 2, great passages of scripture that talk about how we are the adopted sons of God and daughters of God. We belong to His family. Paul takes it to a very simple level in this verse when he says, I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. I have been possessed by Him. He owns me. So I need to set my goal, the goal of my life, to know Him. That makes us different. Absolutely, it makes us different. And being different is not bad, especially when you look at the world in which we live and you recognize how broken this world is and how many people are totally lost in this world in which we live. We need to be different. We need to be those that shine the light so much, that the light reflects in us so very much that people see the difference. People know the difference. That doesn't mean we don't need to speak Jesus, but it means that because we do reflect Christ, we do demonstrate Jesus Christ in our lives to other people around us, that when they give us the opportunity, we can share the truth of the gospel, and people can see the truth of the gospel in us to recognize that it's real. It's real to us. Jesus is real to us. He's alive to us.
As we close today, take a moment to reflect on the words of Jesus in John 8:12, where he says, "I am the light of the world." In a world filled with confusion, uncertainty, and darkness, Christ alone is the true light that leads to life. And as we saw in Ephesians 3, God's eternal plan of redemption has been brought to light through him. Because of Jesus, we are no longer separated from God, but can boldly come before him in faith. If you are trusting in Christ today, walk in that light. If you have never truly followed him, know that his invitation still stands. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations. For we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.